Fair warning. All right, let's get started. Yesterday's daf was Ayin Aleph, number 71. Today's 72. We'll do a review of yesterday's daf. Get to today's. Have in mind that our learning should be a schus for Ali Yid and Eretz Yisrael, including those visiting.
Wow. Temporary.
Right.
His heart is here. His heart is here.
Okay. Anyway, and also Lili Nishmas Yitzchak Heshbon Avram Gedalia, Bas Ami, Bas Shlom Zalman Yirmiyahu, and Sarbas Menachem, and also have a mind for Shlema, for Adas Basronya, for Yitzchak Ben Yael Zahava, for
Miriam
Bas Etiziso, Pinchas Yaakov Ben Gittel, and Rufu Shlema to Yitzvi Tov Ben Chasha, and Yisrael Yoshua Ben Mina, and Chava Bas Dali Hinda, and Shoshana Kol Debracha Bas Yael Rina. Okay, Besok Sharech Ol Yisrael. Everyone who needs it. Okay, so we're starting our review of yesterday's daf. We saw this interesting idea that Rav Nachman quoted from Rav Huna, that even charging interest to a Gentile is bad news, forbidden, maybe not from the Torah, but it's not allowed. So the Gemara was bothered by this. I mean, it seems to be that it's allowed. So if anything, our Mishnah says very clearly that you could borrow from a Gentile with ribbis and you could lend to him with ribbis. So what are you talking about? And Keretoshev also. So Rav Chiya Breid Rav Huna says that the difference is that that's only b'chtei chayev, meaning yes, they did allow it, but they only allowed it to just enough that you could sustain yourself, but to become rich from it, even from Gentiles, is not allowed. Okay, that's one answer. Ravina says that those who can charge interest to Gentiles are strictly Talmid Chachamim, but a regular person is not allowed to. And the reason why is because by lending to a Gentile, you'll learn from his behavior, you'll fraternize with the Gentile, and he'll influence you to bad behavior. But a scholar is protected from that; he won't do that, and therefore he may do so. So again, that's what we're worried about. But it's not the actual charging interest that's the issue. Now, that was version A. Then we saw that there's a whole different version, basically. Basically, there's a pasuk, very interesting pasuk, Kim Kesef Talvis Amis Ha'oni Imach. What we learn from there is a hierarchy in who to prioritize your loans. So if you have money to lend, who do you lend to first? So between a Jew and a Gentile, you have to prioritize your own fellow Jew. A poor man and a rich man, prioritize the poor man. You're poor in your family or poor in their city, you prioritize your poor from your family. And your city before in front of another city. So that's that. Now, we mentioned that Ami Vinachri, the Jew goes first. Why isn't that obvious there? So that's where Rav Nachman said that Huna told him that this is the chiddush here is that even if from the Gentile you're making interest and from the Jew you make no interest, still you need to prioritize the Jew over the Gentile. And that's the chiddush, and that's what it's saying. It's a whole different idea. It's not saying that you're not allowed to charge interest. It's saying that if you have limited funds to lend and a Jew needs the money, then he won't give you interest, and a Gentile would be ready to pay you interest, and you're allowed to charge him the interest, still you have to prioritize the Jew, and that's all it's saying. Okay. Comes along a Musar Vart, a powerful Musar Vart from Rabbi Yossi. He said that, see how blinding, come and see how blind people who are lending with interest are. If somebody would call that very person who lends interest, calls him a Rasha, he would be so upset that he'd literally want to destroy his life, which means, you know, run him out of town, ruin his name, kill his business, everything, because he called him a Rasha. He'd be so affronted, so insulted. And yet that same guy is gathering witnesses, he's gathering a scribe, he's writing in a document that I'm denying God. Basically, straight up, because that's what you're doing when you're lending with interest. And you're writing a document like that. You see how blinding interest is in causing a person to do things that is basically putting himself in such a bad light. Okay. Anyway, brings us to the next thing. Rav Shimon Elazar says that if somebody has money and he lends it without interest, the pasuk can tell him, applies to him, that he's Oisa'ela Lo'imit Lo'ela, which teaches you that the inverse is true as well, that if you do lend, if you lend with interest, everything is going to go good, it's not going to go bad. If you lend with it, that's if you lend without interest. If you lend with interest, then you'll see that your property is going to start going down. Okay? Don't we see that people don't lend with interest? And it still goes down. I mean, yeah, not everybody is increasing and getting richer and richer. So Rabbi Lazar says, yes, but they go down, but then they go back up. But this is down, one way down. It only goes down and it doesn't go back up. Okay, we quote a pasuk that it says, that while you're looking at those rebellious ones, Tachrish kibbala rasha tzadik mimena, when Rasha swallows up somebody who is more righteous than him. So Rav Huna says that this indicates that the ability for a Rasha to swallow is only somebody who is a relative tzaddik, meaning somebody who's better than him, relative to him, but he's not such a good person. But a tzaddik gomor, he won't be able to harm at all. Okay, so it's just like the another connection to that. All right, Rebbe said that Rebbe said an interesting question. He said that there's a mention of a convert, a righteous convert, that's discussing mechiras, discussing sale, and there's a law of gertoshev discussing interest. That's why we're talking about it, because we're talking about interest. And I don't understand what it's all about, because it makes no sense to me. So we're going to go through both of those things. So first of all, what's the ger tzedek halacha? So there's a selling oneself as a slave. It's an eved ivri. So if it says in the pasuk that when your brother becomes poor and he'll be sold to you, or not only to you, but to a ger, not only to a ger tzedek, but to a ger toshav, not only to a ger toshav, but to the Gentile, who's a family of a ger, and not only him, but even Eker Mishpachas Ger, which is basically Avodah Zarah. So this is how, this is talking about, if you follow the Rashi talks about that the progression of the verses is talking about somebody who's not careful in Shemitah, and he starts doing business with Shemitah produce, and he starts getting poor, and he has to sell his assets, and then he sells his daughter, and then he sells himself, and then he was not only, and nobody wants to buy him, and he goes all the way downhill till he's end up a janitor in the house of idolatry. Okay, that's like as low as it goes. Okay, anyway, so it says in one of the things that you're being sold to a ger. Okay, so the ger is buying an eved ivri. All right, now problem is that indicates that a ger can buy an eved ivri. But what's the problem? The contradiction is that there's a halacha that you cannot buy a ger as an eved ivri. If he wants to sell himself as a slave, he may not do so. And the reason why, and nor also an isha and a ger cannot buy an eved ivri. Okay, now why can't the ger be bought as an eved ivri? Pasuk says that after the term of his avdos, after the term of his servitude, he needs to return to his family. He can't return to his family. A convert is kikatan shenoladam. He has no family to return to, so therefore he can't be sold in the first place. If he can't have a family that he has to go back, that he's able to go back to, then he can be sold in the first place. Okay. Why can't a woman or a convert buy an eved ivri? So a woman, two different reasons. The woman can't buy a convert, can't buy a slave. Why? Because it's not derech eretz. If she buys a slave, she's a single woman, is a slave, he's a man, she's a lady. They're living in the house together. It's a problem. Okay. It's issues. Okay. It's we're worried about some inappropriate behavior. Why can't a ger buy a slave? The answer is because if he can't sell himself as a slave, he also can't buy one. It's a tradition. Okay, so that's our contradiction. So now we don't have an answer. We're looking for an answer. So Nachum Yitzchak says that...
why didn't say this by the woman?
What?
She can't sell herself as a slave.
Well, she can be sold as a slave.
Yeah, that's different. That, but she's a ketana.
She's a ketana, right?
Okay, so that's the but I'm saying that's the difference. She has a concept of being shivcha an amavriya that was not existing by the.
Okay.
Anyway, so what it means is that it can be sold as a slave. It can buy a slave. It's not meaning you can't buy a slave and the slave will be like a Jew. Meaning, it's rather he buys a slave and he'll have a din like a Gentile. What's the difference? Because the halacha is that somebody who's an Eved Nirza or somebody who is a sold to a Gentile, the halacha is that as soon as the owner dies, the person goes out free. And the Nirza, Eved Nirza, only stays if the master stays alive. He says, after as Adoni, Adoni is my master, and that's what he's bound to. If the master dies, then he goes free immediately, even if it's before the Jubilee year, or before Yovel. Similar, somebody is sold to a Gentile. The Gentile dies, he goes free. He doesn't go to the Gentile's child. However, but by Eved Ivri, who's sold to a person, and that person dies, he continues till the end of his term, whichever is first. But so that's what he's saying, that a ger tzedek who owns a slave, even if it's within the term, but if he would die, it doesn't go to his children. That's the chiddush. Okay. Next thing is we mentioned this, it piqued our interest. It says that an ish and a ger cannot buy an eved ivri. So is that not like Reb Shem Gamliel, who seems to say that an ish can acquire shvachos? The Tanna Kama says that only women can she buy, but she cannot buy an avadim. And Reb Shem Gamliel says that she could buy avadim. So it's a stira. So the Gemara says, no, even Reb Shem Gamliel might agree. There's a difference between Neved Kenaimi and Neved Ivri. What's the difference? Why is one allowed, one not allowed? Because Neved Ivri, what are we afraid of? That they're going to maybe have some intimate relationship that's inappropriate. Okay? So if it's Neved Ivri, she's comfortable that he'll keep it under wraps just like she will, and one word won't get out. Supposed to, by Neved Kenaimi, he's, after all, he's Gentile born, he doesn't have that same discretion, and therefore, word will get out, she's not going to risk anything. So even if she owes the Neved Kenaimi, that itself, to maintain a reputation, she'll maintain a cleanliness. Okay. But the Braisa says, brings down from Rav Yosef, that a widow is not allowed, according to this, a widow is not allowed to have a pet dog or have a rabbinical student stay as a guest in her house. Why? So the guest in the house, rabbinical student, I get the issue. If he's a guest in the house, he'll be discreetful, and she'll be discreetful, and they do something that's inappropriate. But what's the dog? The dog doesn't know to be discreet. The dog's going to be, if she's intimate with the dog because of her loneliness, so isn't that going to be obvious that the dog's behaving unusual with her? They're a little bit too close? The verse says, love Dafka, because you could chalk it up to the fact that she provides meat to the dog, and therefore they won't notice that there's something unusual with their relationship. So there you go. Anyway, side point. So we mentioned that Ger Toshav, about ribis, what is that all about? So what's the question? So the pasuk says, "V'chiyamach chichem atiyadu imach ve'chzaktabo ger v'soshav chayimach atikach mito neshek v'sarbis v'riz melakecha." Which sounds very clearly, if you read the pasuk properly, seemingly, it seems to be saying that you cannot take, including we mentioned ger toshav here, and we're saying you're not allowed to charge interest. So what's going on over here? I thought we'd learned in our Mishnah that you can borrow from them, lend to them, not only to a Gentile, but to a Ger Toshav as well. So it's contradictory. That's the Kasha. And there, Nachum Yitzchak gives an answer as well. It says, it doesn't say, Atikach Me'itam Neshek V'Sharbis. It says, Me'ito, singular. So it's not going back on everybody mentioned. It's only going back on the Jew. A Jew, you're not allowed to charge interest. Toshav is only mentioned in the Parsha because of the other part of the Parsha, that he's v'chayach yichimach, that there's a mitzvah to support the poor Ger Toshav amongst you. So in other words, in Eretz Yisrael, you have some Gentiles, I don't know, probably today. I don't know if the Gentiles that are living in Eretz Yisrael are keeping the Noachide laws, But there are always, there's some that work, now there's Filipinos or whatever. If they are keeping the Noachad laws, they don't have to keep kosher, but they believe in one God, they follow whatever, the limited laws of the seven Noachad laws, then they're halachically considered a ger toshav. And if that's the case, if they're poor and they need help, you have to help them. That's part of the idea. Okay, anyway. Brings us to a new question, okay, a new idea. It says that al tikach meita nechzer sarvis, but you are allowed to be a guarantor for a Gentile, okay, for a Jew. Now, what does that mean? If we're talking about where a Jew is borrowing with interest from a fellow Jew, and you're going to be the guarantor, so you're actually over a losasei. Who is over a losasei? We already said the lender, the borrower. The guarantor and the witnesses are all transgressing a negative prohibition if they're involved. Anyone involved in the transaction, in the loan, okay? So what we're talking about, a Jew is borrowing from a Gentile, and you're the with interest, and you're the guarantor. Now, the question is, why is that actually acceptable? Since typically Gentiles, when they have a guarantor, so it's like the banks today. Anybody who guarantees the loan,
you're on the hook.
They go to where the easiest access to the money is. So the guy who's the guarantor has a better thing. That's where they're going to get the money from. They're not interested in, like, wait a second, he's only backup. If the guy can't pay and you tried getting the money out of him and then it didn't, then afterwards, that's how the Jewish system is. Anyway, bottom line is, if that's the case, he's going to go to the guarantor first, so the guarantor is going to get the money back from the borrower, and then he's being paid the interest. That's a problem. So the Gemara says that no, the Gentile agreed to follow Jewish law with regard. So the Gemara says that's the case. Why is he charging interest? He's agreed to follow Jewish law regarding this one specific issue, to go to the borrower before the guarantor, but not with regards to, he's not willing to forego the interest. Okay, he's still interested in his interest. Okay. Next thing is, a Jew can lend his money, money of a Gentile, as long as it's midas nachri, as long as it's with the intent or knowledge of the Gentile. Okay, and then not midas Yisrael. So what's the difference? So what we gave an example. You have a Jew borrows money from a Gentile with interest, and he's ready to pay it back. And another Jew sees that he's walking with a satchel of money, and he's like, where are you going? I'm paying off my debt to this Gentile. It's like, how much interest you paid on it? It's like, I could actually use the money alone like that. Can you just let me have it? And I'll extend it, continue it on. Just like with him, meaning tell the Gentile that, you pay X amount every month, I'll take care of that, and, extend it. So that's forbidden if it's between Jew to Jew. But if he brings him to the Gentile and says, here, I'm ready to pay back, but this guy's going to want to borrow it, are you okay with that? That's actually okay. Same is true. In reverse, if it's a Gentile who's borrowing from a Jew with interest, and then he's ready to pay, the Gentile's ready to pay back, a Jew sees him and says, hey, what are you doing? I'm paying back the Jew that I borrowed money from. He says, if you give it to me, I'll pay it to you, and you can pay to him with the interest. So that's okay, because that's between the Gentile. It's the Gentile who's lending to the Jew over there with interest, and then he gets it with interest, and he pays it to the Jew eventually, okay? But if he brings him to the Israel and does that, then that's forbidden, because the Israel cannot lend to his fellow Jew with interest. So now, the safe, I understand the stringency, but the ratio, the question is this, and this is really what kept us to the bottom of the page. There's a problem because it's ain shlichus l'nachri. There's no such thing as messengership. The agency doesn't exist by Gentiles. So that's a problem. So it would basically be that if I'm handing the money, even if it's on behalf of the Gentile, in the presence of the Gentile, I can't be the agent. It's as if I'm doing it. That's the problem. So I'm taking the interest. So Rav Huna Bar Menachem said the name of Rav. We're talking about where he said, put it down on the ground, and the other guy should pick it up. So there is no agency happening. Okay, that's one idea. Gemara says, what's the chiddush there? Why? It's not obvious. So the Gemara says, know what? He gave it to the Gentile. The Gentile took it from Jew one and gave it to the second. Why is that also obvious? And the answer is because since the Jew is actually providing the other Jew to borrow from, it's as if he's the one who he's doing. He's only lending on the knowledge of the Jew. Basically, it's trusting him. So maybe it's problematic, and that's why they're telling him that it's okay. That's one answer. Then we saw Rav Ashi offered a different answer. He says maybe there's only no shlichas for a Gentile by Truma, but in the rest of the Torah there is shlichas by a Gentile. And Rav Ashi, the Gemara rejects because where's the pasuk in Truma says atem gam atem, which means that the shliach has to be bnei bris. Where do you think shlichas and the rest of the Torah is learned from? This is the source for all shlichas, for all agency. So they have to both be Jewish. So that's like not a good answer. That's version A. Version B of Rav Ashi is that there's only no shlichas for a Gentile can't be a shlich for a Jew, but a Jew can be a shlich for a Gentile. And that Gemara also rejected because it's both ways. If they, it says in the same pasuk that told me that a Jew can only point to another Jew to be an agent for him. The same is true that a Jew to be an agent for somebody else can only be an agent for a fellow Jew. It's included in the same pasuk. On that, so we rejected it. Ravina offered a different answer. He says maybe there's no shlichas to a Gentile, but there's what's called zechia. Just and I'll prove it to you because by katan there's no shlichas, but there's zechia, meaning rabbis said that I can do something to benefit you and it accrues to you. So that maybe will exist even by Gentile. The Gemara says not true, because the chiyah by a child is because he will eventually be able to have a messenger and be able to create agency because he's going to grow up and become an adult. But a Gentile won't be that way, and therefore they reject Ravina's answer as well. That is as far as we got to yesterday.